All right. Hello, everyone. This is Harrison. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and this is Stranger Waves. Be on the air for 2 hours today talking about the Dead & Company run in San Francisco and then, you know, playing some other stuff towards the end of the set. But to get y'all started, this is He's Gone from night one of their run in San Francisco, and I hope you enjoy.
Now he's gone. like I told you what I said. Steal your face right off your head. Now he's gone.
So that was He's Gone from Night One in San Francisco. They go ahead and just take that straight into Scarlet Begonias and Fire on the Mountain, which is pretty great. But yeah, still hasn't fully set in yet that this is the end of Dead & Company. At least in any kind of major touring form, I think. Initially, I was kind of thinking, oh, this is just, you know, drum up press and whatever, calling it the final tour. It does feel pretty final. I'm certain this lineup of musicians will play together again at some point. I'm sure Plain in the Sand will probably still happen, because that seems to be a huge moneymaker for them. And I'm fairly certain that John's going to join them for the 60th anniversary in 2025, assuming they do another fairly well like they did for the 50th anniversary in 2015. But this is all just speculation, right? I'm I feel conflicted, right? Because I know Bobby's still going to tour. I have my Wolf Bros tickets for September. I know I'm happy that, you know, Jeff is part of Wolf Bros. I'm seeing O'Teal in September, thankfully. So I'm excited because I'm getting to see, you know, kind of all these people individually. It just sucks because they're really good as a group. And I was kind of always on the, Dead & Company is an inferior for a pretty long time. It took me a while to really buy into it. And even, you know, the show I saw in 2021, it was good. It was my first ever Dead-related show of any kind, so it's, you know, very special to me. But, man, they just, like, weren't great that night. And then even in 2022, the Hartford show, it was good, but you could just kind of tell something was off. This tour, they were just locked in. Every single show was great. And I've listened to at least one set from every show, and I've seen about 8 or 9 of them in their entirety. They didn't miss this tour practically at all, from what I can tell. And it sucks to see them kind of stepping away while this is likely the top of their game. I don't think Dead & Company is ever going to sound better than this. And it seems to be kind of the prevailing idea among people online and who I've spoken to, that just nobody can fully understand why they're seemingly quitting when they're ahead. Because, I could keep seeing this band forever. And it sucks that they're done. Music aside, just the community that has popped up around Dead & Company is, I think, pretty special. All things considered, this, I think, for people of my generation, because I was too young to see further, or at least, you know, too young to really, you know, get the whole experience. I'm sure I could have gone to a show, but I think for people my age, this is our Grateful Dead experience, right? This band, these tours have been my way, and I think other people who are around my age's way, to kind of engage with this music that I don't think we really would have had an opportunity to do so otherwise. Sure, other groups are still playing the music, and this is the other thing that gives me comfort, is that I'm seeing Phil Lesh and Friends in like 6 days, and then Joe Russo's in August. The music isn't going anywhere, and I think that's, you know, a beautiful thing in and of itself. But the scale of Dead & Company, I think, is just special. It feels like an event. Every single concert you go to from these guys, it feels like an event. They do an amazing job at kind of cultivating this really fun, exciting space, and it feels like you're kind of in the center of the universe for that, you know, 4-hour period, and it's really special. And I've met, you know, some incredible people who I'm gonna definitely keep in touch with on the lots and stuff like that. And yeah, I don't know. I can keep talking about this for hours, because I really have invested a lot of time into this band, specifically this tour, because I remember listening to the LA shows when they came out, and it really caught me off guard how good they were. I think Jay Lane has a lot to do with that. But yeah, hats off to O'Teal and Jeff. I think I love Jay Lane too. I'm going to include him here too. But O'Teal and Jeff, I think, are seismic additions to the Grateful Dead. I really think they are about as good as you can get for what they do. O'Teal is so special. Jeff, anytime Jeff is jamming on one of these songs, it's better for it. And I'd say most times that there's a highlight in one of the jams, it is Jeff Chimenti playing. And O'Teal's voice is beautiful and elevates certain songs. I'm happy that they gave him more this tour. It seems like he was singing at least once a show, which is incredible. And yeah, I'm going to miss it. But I haven't talked about one person yet, and that's John Mayer, because he can play the guitar very well. I think that regardless of what some people want to say about him, he has made a pretty huge dent in the Grateful Dead history book. These Dead & Co shows would not be what they are without him. But in a way, I'm kind of happy to see maybe a new face playing guitar. Because for the three shows, which was, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in between the sets, they would show a podcast where these two guys would interview somebody from the band. And the first night it was John Mayer, second night it was Mickey Hart, and third night it was Bob Weir. And aside from, we'll get to the disaster that was last night in terms of streaming the show, in terms of that screw up on air where they were trying to advertise the stream to a bunch of people who were unable to even purchase it, let alone log into the service and actually watch it. These two guys would interview one of the band members. And so when they interviewed John, the tone of the interview was very much, oh, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to kind of, you know, explore other things. And then they talk to Mickey and Bobby, and they don't sound like they're ready to quit at all. So this just adds even more credence to my theory that I had from the very beginning, that this is mostly John Mayer's doing, that the tour is coming to a stop at the time that it is. It definitely seems like these shows gave him a huge boost in popularity, helped kind of revitalize his career, which I think was stagnating before this, although I'm not super aware. I don't particularly enjoy John Mayer's music, so I don't keep up with him too much. But it definitely seems like he's ready to move on, and I welcome that. I think he was great. I think he, you know, helped form this band's sound into something kind of different. But there are many talented guitar players out there, and I'm curious to see who kind of fills in next. But yeah, that's all I got to say for right now. We'll talk about the other tracks coming up after them as well. I don't normally, you know, go for this long, but I had a lot of thoughts about the past couple nights. So yeah, that back to the music of all things. That He's Gone, I had a feeling it was coming because Sam Cutler, who was one of the band's first big tour managers, passed away on Friday. He passed away a little bit ago, but they only announced his death on Friday. But yeah. Monster, He's Gone sounded really good. Sam Cutler, very important figure in the band's kind of earlier years. He helped set up the Festival Express tour, as well as the 1972 Europe tour, which is about as consequential of a tour as you can get in terms of early Grateful Dead history. I don't think the band would have become what it did. Became what it did, that's what I should have said, without Sam Cutler. So it was nice to see them memorialize them, both of that He's Gone and the Knockin' on Heaven's Door that closed out night one. But moving on to night two, a lot of heaters on that Saturday show. But I'm going to play my favorite little pairing from it. It's how they closed out set one. And played one of these songs a couple weeks ago. I don't care. I think... So I'm playing a They Love Each Other into Turn On Your Love Light. And the They Love Each Other is played in 73 style, which means, you know, up tempo. I think that is the best creative decision Dan and Company has ever made. I swear to God, putting this into the lineup, it is so good. It's so much fun. It turns a song. They Love Each Other is a good song, and I like it. It's a little slow and it's a little samey. It completely rejuvenates it, makes it super fun. Saw it twice on tour, dancing both times. And yeah, the Love Light's great too. But let's just get into it. This is July 15th, 2023, Oracle Park, San Francisco, California. They Love Each Other, night two of the final run of Dead & Company. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you. taking it, babe. Tore it apart. Let me standing in the corner crying. You told me your love is slowly dying.
Yeah. right back.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.normal.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
All right. Thanks, Willie. But yeah, y'all just heard, They Love Each Other into Turn On Your Love Light. Sorry about that. Getting a little turned around here. But I spoke pretty generally about the tour and about what's coming after. But I do want to kind of dive into the last three nights because I think it was, you know, they're pretty significant. So first night was good. Definitely the weakest of the three, I think. I was also, like, barely able to stay awake for the second set. I don't know why, but something just washed over me, and I was basically out of it for that whole second set. The China Cat Rider was great. I loved they opened with Not Fade Away, which was pretty surprising in the moment, but it pretty much confirmed what I knew from the get-go, that they were going to close out the tour with Not Fade Away, which we'll get to. Night two was great. What I just played for you was definitely my highlight. I was, you know, dancing in my living room, having the time of my life, pretending I was there. But yeah, I love that they started playing Love Light this tour. It was a song that I just kind of convinced myself I was never going to hear in a live setting because I, you know, very heavily associate that song with Pigpen, and I didn't think they would play it. But of course, Dead & Co come in, put this kind of gospel twist on it, which I love, and everybody's, you know, having a great time at these shows when they're playing it. We won't talk about that because we're going to keep on these three shows. And then the third night was an emotional roller coaster for me. Let's put it that way. I think it hit me a lot harder than I was expecting. The first two nights, I just kind of had to remind myself, like, oh, this is, you know, we're reaching the end. Third night, didn't need any reminders. I knew the whole time. The Bertha opener was great. Loser was fun. High Time. Love, again, hearing O'Teal sing. Absolutely killed it. Best Althea, I think. Outside of the one they played at Fenway, of course. Dear Mr. Fantasy, Hey Jude is... Oh, it's all right. I think that they jam Dear Mr. Fantasy very well, but Hey Jude's fun. But again, in terms of, like, the final show ever, would I, if I were making the set list, put these two here? Probably not, but I'm not complaining. And then the Bird Song. Got a song later, much later in the show, because of this Bird Song, but it, oh man, it was beautiful. I think that I saw they played it at a SPAC, and I think it very well might be Dead & Company's best song, or if it's not their best song, it was the best song this tour. Their Bird Songs are really special. Very, very full of emotion. Very cool. Set two, Help Slip Frank's opener. Super fun. Jeff, the highlight here, as usual. Into Estimated Profit and Eyes of the World. Good stuff. I called this portion of the set list. I was really hoping for that, so that was very exciting. We're going to play the Eyes of the World from this show in a little bit. Then Days Between, Cumberland Blues, Sugar Magnolia, and then the encore was Truckin', and then Broke Down Palace, which was where the finality of this all kind of really kicked in for me. I love that song, and hearing them play it one last time was pretty emotional. And then they close out with Not Fade Away. And that's all she wrote. Yeah. I was hoping for a third set because they decided to, you know, do this, you know, start the show early. But I think, in retrospect, the reason they did that was just to make sure they didn't have to, you know, cut the show short because of a curfew, which they did on the first night. But, I mean, it was incredible. Not a huge fan of the drone shows. I think they're cool, but, you know, whatever, could take it or leave it. Yeah, I mean, they it was really, really cool. I am very happy I got the streams, except for the fact that Nugs kind of dropped the ball last night. A bunch of people couldn't log in and get the show working. Luckily, I got it up on my phone and everything was good. But who really dropped the ball there? And now I'm kind of beating myself up for not getting the kind of tour long stream pass, because I easily would have sat in front of my TV and done this a couple times a week for you know, a couple months. And yeah, they for everybody who was in San Francisco, I'm incredibly jealous, but I don't think they could have ended this pretty much any better than they did, so I'm content. We're gonna play the Eyes of the World from that night, because I think the jam in here is really special, particularly O'Teal's part, which is great. I almost played the Bird song, but I think Eyes of the World's a little bit more fun, so we're gonna stick with that. And then after that, I'm going to move into some other songs that I've been enjoying recently, and we will go from there. So yeah, here's Eyes of the World from last night. Okay, that's just weird saying. And this is the final Dead & Company show, at least for the moment. And yeah, so here you go. Hope you enjoy.
Thank you. Now discover that you are the soul that the Sometimes the songs that we sing are just songs of our own.